politics, which are just two sides of the same coin, Arulani said. You've never understood that or been able to deal with it.
I know, Thrawn said. That's why we need to flip this particular coin over to the war side. Arulani sighed. He'd been wrong once, spectacularly wrong, and it had cost him. But it was no use arguing about it. Besides, he was right. Yiv and the Nicardoon had to be challenged, and doing so in a system the enemy wanted to hold on to was their best chance.
I'm not sure the techs are entirely finished with the Vak fighter we brought back from Primea, but Bakif can probably talk Jafosk into letting us return it. You're sure Chiri can fly it?
Absolutely, Thrawn said. She proved quite adept at flying our scout ship, and the fighter has similar parameters. I'll just need to relabel some of the controls and run her through an exercise or two, and she'll be ready.
I assume you aren't going to let Bakif or Jafosk in on that part of the plan.
I'm not that crazy, Thrawn said with a small smile.
But they're going to find out eventually, Arulani said. Have you thought about what they'll do to you afterward?
A muscle in Thrawn's throat tightened. If we've eliminated Yiv as a threat, it doesn't matter what they do to me. He cocked his head. My real concern is you. What they're going to do to you when it all comes out.
I'm an admiral, Arulani reminded him. Not nearly so easy to get rid of.
They'll still try.
Only if we fail. If we succeed.
She shrugged.
But the future's out of our hands. Let's go with the present. So, first job. Retrieve the Vak fighter from the Tex and get it prepped to fly. Second job. Teach Chiri how to fly it. Third job. Get started on the customized freighter you want. Fourth job. Work out the message you want delivered to the Vax. Fifth job, get the Republic shield ready to go for our surprise attack. Sixth job, get my fleet ready to go.
That one may be the seventh, Thrawn interjected. Sixth job is probably to get Bakif and Jafosk to sign off on this.
I was thinking of waiting on that until after Chiri and Thalias have left, Arulani said. That's not going to be a pleasant conversation, and it'll be safer if it's too late to call the fighter back. Eighth job.
She braced herself.
Spin it all up and turn it loose.
And hope that my assessment of General Yiv is correct.
Right, Arulani said. Let's really hope that.
They're calling us, Chiri announced. That light, right there.
I see it,
Thalias said, her head pounding with a tension that had nothing to do with the extra weight of the hard crust makeup once again creating the hostage marking ridges and shallow plateaus across her face. With both the Nicardoon and the Vax here, the entire Primea system was enemy territory. And she and Chiri were all alone in the middle of it. She looked at the girl, leaning forward a little over the fighter's control board. Her eyes narrowed with concentration. At least half of her expression was covered by the same makeup that Thalias was wearing, but there didn't seem to be any tension there. Was she feeling any of the qualms Thalias was?
You're awfully calm, she said.
Aren't I supposed to be?
Chiri asked, throwing a puzzled look at Thalias.
It's all under control, right?
Well, sure, I suppose so, Thalias said. I just...
You trust him, don't you?
Chiri pressed.
Yes, I guess so.
Because we've both seen him do some amazing stuff,
Chiri went on, still frowning.
Getting that shield generator, getting you off Primea? Battles and other stuff? You've seen all that too, right?
Right,
Thalia said.
Only this time...
There's no difference, really,
Ciri said.
It's all under control.
Of course there's a difference,
Thalia said.
All the other times, Thrawn was here with us. If something went wrong, he could adapt or come up with a new plan.
She waved a hand around the cramped command deck.
Here? Ciri, we're on our own.
But he gave us our instructions,
Ciri said.
We know what we're supposed to do.
I know that, Thalia said. I'm just saying it's not the same.
Oh,
Ciri said,
the part of her face that Thalias could see suddenly clearing.
It's not that you don't trust Thrawn. You don't trust yourself.
Of course not,
Thalia said, hearing the edge of bitterness in her voice. She'd been aware of that nebulous feeling ever since Thrawn first proposed the plan. But up to now, she'd never dared to even think those words. Now, with them out in the open, she felt a sudden weight of fear and doubt and inadequacy.
Why should I? What have I ever done to make him... to make anyone think I could be trusted with something this big?
Well, you're here,
Ciri said.
That must mean he trusts you.
I asked for a reason.
We don't always get reasons,
Ciri said earnestly.
Whatever he sees in you, it was all he needed. He trusts you.
She paused.
So do I, if that helps any.
Thalias took a deep breath, gazing at Chiri's eyes. The enhanced maturity she'd seen in the girl back aboard the Vigilant was still there. And for a moment, Thalias noted the irony of a 9-year-old comforting an adult.
You know, when I was your age, I remember being terrified of my future,
she said.
It was all so big and unknown, and I had no idea what my place in it would be.
I used to feel that way too,
Ciri said.
Not so much anymore.
Which all by itself is crazy,
Thalia said.
The future you're facing, for that matter, the future you and I are facing just today, is way less secure than anything I could have dreamed of.
You just said it,
Ciri said.
Dreams? I never knew what to dream. I mean, I was just a Skywalker. I didn't know if there was anything else I could ever do.
She gestured at the control board in front of her.
But then, Thrawn taught me how to fly. In just a couple of weeks, he taught me how to fly.
She smiled, her whole face beaming with happiness and accomplishment.
If I can do that, I can do anything. Do you get it now?
Yes,
Thalia said.
And I'm happy for you.
She took another deep breath, willing the tension away. An accomplished warrior like Thrawn? An accomplished pilot like Ciri. With them trusting her? How could this go wrong?
You said the Vax had hailed us. Do we need to send a message back?
Whenever you're ready,
Ciri said, pointing to the mic.
Got your speech ready?
I've got Thrawn's speech ready,
Thalia said, forcing a small smile.
Good enough?
Good enough.
Ciri touched a switch.
You're on.
Thalias braced herself.
This was it. Greetings to the people of Primea,
she called in Minisiat.
I am Thalias, companion to Senior Captain Thrawn of the Chiss Ascendancy. In his escape from your world some time ago, he inadvertently took this fighter craft with him. It has been repaired, and my pilot and I are here to return it.
You have stolen from the Vac Combine,
a harsh voice came in the same language.
What makes you think you won't be punished for your crime?
I would beg the Combine to accept my visit and the spacecraft's return as a gesture of goodwill,
Thalia said.
I'm certain that I can explain from Thrawn's thought line the reasons behind his actions.
There was a pause.
There is never a valid reason for theft,
the Vax said. But to Thalia's ears, he sounded a little uncertain. Exactly as Thrawn had predicted he would be.
I would again beg your indulgence, she said. I bring a written explanation and an overture of peace and reconciliation from the senior captain. Will you permit me to land and bring it to your military leader?
Another pause.
You may land. I've activated a navigational beacon to guide you.
Cheery.
Thalia murmured. The girl nodded.
Got it. Shifting course now. Thank you,
Thalia said.
I will bring the document with me. I was ordered to place it directly into the hand of your military leader. I beg you to permit me to fulfill my duty.
Land first. Once we've examined the craft and assessed any damage, we shall see about your document.
Thank you,
Thalia said.
We shall look forward to seeing you soon.
There was a click as the Vac closed off the transmission.
So far, so good,
Thalia said, trying to sound casual.
It'll work,
Cheery assured her, as the fighter angled down toward the lights of a city far below.
Thrawn's got this. We've got this.
Thalia nodded. She still wasn't sure about herself, but she was confident in Thrawn's skills. Because really, when had he ever been wrong?
Memories. 12.
It was a high honor, Arulani had been assured, when an alien government invited a Chiss military officer to travel to their world. The fact that Security Chief Frangelic had specifically said the Ruleri would be present, had added an even deeper layer to the honor. And so, as she and Thrawn left their shuttle and walked to the cluster of waiting Garweans, she tried very hard not to be overwhelmed by the mix of 100 strange odors swirling around her like a morning fog. It was thick enough and intense enough that she nearly turned around and headed back to the shuttle and the olfactory security of the Destrama. To her surprise, though, by the time the greeting ceremony was over, and she and Thrawn were ushered to a waiting ground car, her nose and lungs were already starting to adapt. As they drove across the city toward the Planetary Security Center, the smells receded even more. And by the time the car stopped, and Frangelic ushered them out onto the street, the aroma had become neutral, even edging towards something pleasant. Though it was possible that the mixture had simply changed along the way. Certainly the large circular courtyard stretched out before them, crowded with pedestrians, had many spots where wisps of smoke marked open fire cooking, and she'd always liked such aromas.
This can't be the security center,
she commented, as Frangelic closed the car door behind them.
The center is here,
he said, pointing to a white stone building on the far side of the courtyard.
But as you can see, vehicles would have been difficult maneuvering through the weekend creator's market.
Could we not have flown?
Thrawn asked.
We could have,
Frangelic agreed.
But the Creator's Market is one of the finest representations of Garwean culture, and I hoped to share it with you.
Thrawn looked at Arulani.
Commodore?
Arulani shrugged, sniffing as a shift in the breeze brought another flavor of smoke. Holiday open-fire banquets had been one of her favorite family meals when she was growing up.
Why not? She said. Lead on, Security Chief.
Thank you. This way.
Frangelic set off toward the edge of the courtyard. It was crowded with people, as Arulani had already noted, but those on the edges quickly spotted the alien faces and moved out of their path. Some of them bowed toward Frangelic as the newcomers approached, and Arulani's first thought was that the gesture was one of subservience, or even fear at the sight of his uniform. But Frangelic invariably bowed back, and she eventually concluded that the gesture was simply a form of respect between citizens.
"You can see that the booths are laid out in concentric circles," Frangelic said as they approached the outer group. "The ones on the outside are reserved for those who require more space for their wares and equipment, while the smaller ones toward the center are for those with more compact displays."
"You said creators," Thrawn said. "What do they create?"
"Anything you want,"
Frangelic said.
"There's a man here who makes unique kitchen utensils for people whose passion is cooking. Over there is a woman who creates historical costumes for remembrance parties. You can smell the aromas of cooking fires for those who wish a particular food preparation or a unique layering of spice or sauce."
"Seems rather inefficient," Arulani said.
"Oh, we have the same mass-produced items as all other worlds for everyday use,"
Frangelic assured her.
"These are for those who want the unusual and unique. If you can define or describe what you want, someone here will make it for you. Here, or in thousands of other creators' markets across the Unity."
"You spoke of remembrance parties," Thrawn said. "What are those?"
"Ah,"
Frangelic said, shifting direction.
"That is, I believe, a cultural aspect in which the Unity stands alone among all other peoples. Those who attend such parties wear elaborate outfits utilizing features from clothing throughout Gawian history, woven and melded together in subtle and unique ways. The goal of each participant is to create the most beautiful and most intricate melding while at the same time detecting and identifying the features in the other attendees' garb. Let me show you."
He led the way to a long table and a woman working an odd-looking sewing machine. On either side of her were neat stacks of cloth, thread, and sewing implements, while racks behind her held dozens of samples of cloth, leather, silk, and some other materials Arulani couldn't identify.
"This is Dame Mimot, one of our master designers,"
Frangelic said, nodding a greeting to her.
"Dame Mimot, our guests would like to hear about your work."
The woman regarded Arulani and Thrawn in a way that Arulani couldn't help but identify as suspicion.
"You're not by chance attending the Kimball's party next mid-spring, are you?"
she asked.
"Really, Mimot?"
Frangelic said, a hint of scolding in his tone.
"You're not suggesting our honored guests would cheat, are you?"
For a moment, the woman just stared at him. Then her jaw cracked open in a smile.
"Your honored guests? Certainly not,"
she said.
"You, on the other hand..."
She cocked her head to the side, her fingertips touching her cheek.
"I assure you, Mimot, if I should by chance be invited to the Kimball's party, I will graciously decline."
He pointed two fingers at the cloth she was working on.
"Perhaps you will explain to us your artistry."
"Gladly."
The woman spread out the cloth.
This cloth is, of course, modern, but is of the same design and texture as that is used in the 12th era. The stitching style is from the 14th. The particular dye coloring was first used in the 17th, and the edging style from the 18th.
She touched the machine.
The machine itself is a refurbished antique from the 15th.
All this for a single garment? Aralani asked.
All this for just the underlayer,
Mimot corrected with another smile.
There will also be two outer layers, plus a shoulder wrap, gloves, and a hat.
And all for a single party,
Frangelic said.
Though the clothing that's most successful in puzzling the partygoers is put on display to be admired by the entire city.
If an outfit is designed properly, it can also be easily transformed into other formal wear,
Mimot added.
Sometimes even into everyday clothing. Have you other questions?
No, Aralani said. Thank you for showing us your work. It's most impressive.
I am honored,
Mimot said.
May your day be warmed with sunshine.
Frangelic gestured, and they moved off.
What do you think?
He asked.
Beautiful work, Aralani said. My aunt enjoyed occasional sewing projects when I was growing up, but nothing this elaborate.
We pride ourselves on our craftsmanship,
Frangelic said.
But I see time is growing short. Perhaps later I can show you more of the artisans.
He picked up his pace, the crowd again opening to let them through. Thrawn moved close to Aralani's side.
Is there a problem?
He asked quietly.
A problem?
She shook her head.
No. It's just, I've never seen aliens as people before. Not like Chiss are people. I've always thought of them as something lesser. Something closer, perhaps, to highly intelligent animals. Some friendly, some harmless, some dangerous.
She eyed him.
I suppose you've always seen them for what they are.
You mean as people?
Thrawn shook his head.
Not really. I see the people, certainly, but their personhood is seldom at the top of my thoughts.
Then how do you see them?
His eyes swept the crowd, and Aralani thought she could see a hint of both thoughtfulness and sadness in his face.
As possible allies, possible enemies, assets.
The group was nearly to the Solitaire Planetary Security Center when the racket of emergency alarms suddenly filled the air over the Creator's Market.
What is it?
Aralani shouted over the noise.
Solitaire is under attack!
Frangelic snapped, breaking into a dead run.
Hurry!
The alarms had been silenced by the time the three of them reached the underground situation room beneath the building.
Security Chief Frangelic reporting for orders,
Frangelic called as they hurried toward a small group of Garweans standing in front of a large display wall. The three Ruleri, Aralani noted, were also present, conversing together off to one side, beside another, smaller set of displays. The screens were, of course, labeled with Garwean script, which made them unreadable to her. But there was no mistaking the reason for the alarm. The main view screen showed two Leo Aeoan ships coming in toward the planet. Even as Aralani watched, they reached firing range, and the nearest of Solitaire's orbiting defense platforms opened up with lasers and missiles.
Security Chief,
one of the officers greeted Frangelic tensely as Aralani and the others came up to them. up close, she now recognized him as a general who'd been at one of their earlier meetings, though she couldn't recall his name.
Commodore Aralani, Senior Commander Thrawn.
He gestured to the displays.
As you can see, the quiet talks we'd envisioned between our two peoples have been violently interrupted.
Indeed,
Frangelix said grimly.
We were afraid this would happen,
the general continued.
With our forces off defending our five outer worlds, the Leo Aoi have chosen this moment for a surprise attack. You helped us once, Commodore Aralani. Can you also assist us in repulsing this new aggression?
Aralani shook her head, feeling a sense of helplessness. The woman up there in the Creator's Market, diligently sewing her historical clothing.
I'm sorry, General, but we can't, she said. By all standard protocol, we shouldn't even be in your situation room.
You are our guests, and such guests must be protected,
the General said.
If the invaders break through, you could be in the same danger as our own helpless citizens.
There is little likelihood of that, Thrawn assured him. Your defense platform should be more than adequate to protect you from two warships.
What if there are more lying in wait?
Prangela countered.
Anything you can tell us about our attackers could spell the difference between survival and utter destruction. Please!
For a moment, Thrawn watched the displays in silence. Aralani could see his eyes flicking back and forth, observing, assessing, calculating. If there was something else there, some weakness the Garweans could exploit, he would find it.
Well?
The general prompted.
I see two additional weaknesses, Thrawn said. But Commodore Aralani is right. This is something the Ascendancy must stand back from.
You helped us once,
Frangelix said.
Is not the situation here even more dire?
Thrawn looked at Aralani, back at the general.
The Leo Aoi have certain tactical blind spots, he said. The first...
Just a minute,
Aralani interrupted. The Garwian officers, all of them, were staring at Thrawn. None were watching the monitors. None were directing their defenses. But then, why would they? The Leo Aoan ships were standing well back from the defense platform, not moving forward. Their effort apparently being put into defending themselves against the Garwian barrage.
Please!
Frangelix said, shifting his attention to Aralani.
Please don't stand in the way of Garwian survival.
Is that what I'm doing?
Aralani asked. Pulling out her comm, she keyed for the Destrama. Silence. Not just no answer. Silence. And now all the Garwian officers were looking at her.
Commander Thrawn, please contact the Destrama, she said. There seems to be a problem with my comm.
Is there?
Thrawn said, his voice and face gone suddenly hard. He'd heard the silence from her comm, too.
General, kindly lift your jamming.
There's no jamming,
Frangelix said quickly.
At our depth!
Kindly lift your jamming,
Thrawn repeated. Neither his voice nor his face had changed. Even so, a sudden shiver ran up Aralani's back. Silently, the general turned and made a gesture to one of the officers at the consoles. The other touched a pair of switches.
Asking for terms for the Leo Aoan regime surrender!
A taut voice came over Aralani's comm.
The Garwians are ignoring them! Commodore, can you hear me?
Yes, Commander,
Aralani said.
I can now, anyway. Stand by for orders.
She muted the comm.
Nice,
she said to the general, putting as much frost into her voice as she could.
You claim you're being raided by pirates and maneuver us into bending our protocols to assist. Then, once the Leo Aoi have lost a critical number of ships, you launch an assault against... what? An old rival? A new competitor for trade or manufacturing contracts?
You speak as if the Leo Aoi were innocents,
the general said loftily.
Not at all. You recall me speaking earlier of our five outer worlds? Once there were six.
His mouth opened in a grin.
Now there will be six again.
Or possibly seven,
Aralani asked.
Possibly,
the general agreed.
There is one of theirs we're most interested in.
He looked at Thrawn.
More insights into our enemy's weaknesses would have been useful. But no matter. Your earlier assistance in that regard was sufficient and much appreciated.
Thrawn held his gaze another moment. Then deliberately, he turned to Aralani.
Commodore, request permission to order the Destrama to open fire on the Garwian defense platforms.
An uncomfortable stir ran through the aliens.
A tempting suggestion, Commander,
Aralani said.
But I'm afraid the protocols forbid such an action. Fully justified, though, it would be.
General! The Leo Aoi are breaking off!
Someone called.
Recalled to defend their worlds, no doubt,
the general said.
A futile gesture. But at least there will be no doubt as to which of us won the day.
He cocked his head at Aralani.
I presume you'll wish to depart as soon as possible.
Oh, we'll depart, all right, Aralani said. And you'd best hope with all your strength that we never come back. Because if we do, let's just say that Captain Thrawn's insights regarding tactical blind spots aren't limited to those of the Leo Aoi.
She took a step forward and had the minor and pointless satisfaction of seeing the general take a hasty step backward.
Remember that. All of you.
Chapter 20. There were 10 guards waiting when Thalias and Chiri emerged from the fighter.
I greet the warriors of the Vac Combine,
Thalias called, giving their uniforms a quick once-over. They were of a similar pattern to the uniforms she'd seen at the diplomatic reception she and Thrawn had attended. But these were of a simpler and more utilitarian nature. Not a formal welcome, then, but a serious military situation.
I bring apologies from Senior Captain Thrawn and offer recompense for his actions.
You said you had a message,
one of the soldiers said.
Let me have it.
I was instructed to put it directly into the hands of the Combine's military leader,
Thalia said.
I'm happy to wait on that arrival, or to travel wherever he or she would like to meet.
No doubt you are,
the soldier said.
But I will take it.
He held out his hand, all five claws pointed upward.
Now!
Thalia hesitated, but there was nothing she could do. Anyway, Thrawn had warned her this would probably happen. Pulling out the envelope, she handed it to him.
I presume your leaders will wish to question us about the circumstances that led to this unfortunate occurrence,
she said, as he slid it into a side pocket of his jacket.
I'm at their total disposal and convenience.
That won't be necessary,
the soldier said.
We have a navigator and ship waiting to take you back to the Chiss Ascendancy. He arrives now.
Thalias frowned.
No one wants to talk to us?
The soldier didn't answer. Instead, he gave an open-hand salute, gestured to his companions, and the whole group of them marched off the landing platform and disappeared through one of the doors.
Are we still on the plan?
Ciri asked. Thalias hesitated. They were, but there were certain parts that Thrawn and Darlani had elected to keep from the younger girl.
We'll find out, she said evasively.
Ah! Thalias of the Chiss Ascendancy!
A cheerful voice said from behind them. Thalias turned, feeling her stomach knot up as she saw the familiar creature walking toward them, a broad smile on his face.
You won't remember me, he said. But we met!
You're Kilori, of Yuan Jualan, she interrupted. You were with General Yiv at the reception.
Ah, you do remember,
Kilori said.
Excellent! Come with me! The shuttle to our transport is right down here.
A few minutes later, they were in the shuttle's passenger compartment, heading through the thinning atmosphere toward the rows of ships in Primea orbit.
It's a busy place, Primea,
Kilori commented, peering out the window.
I'm just as glad I never have to take control of a ship until we're well out of the gravity well and ready for hyperspace. You must have had an interesting time getting through it all.
Ciri did,
Thalias said, looking around the otherwise empty compartment.
She's the pilot. Where are the other passengers?
Oh, they're already aboard the transport,
Kilori said.
You are a late addition, courtesy of the Combine government. They must be pleased to have their fighter back.
It was never our intention to keep it,
Thalias said.
Which one's our transport?
You'll see it in a minute,
Kilori said.
It's... there it is. Just coming into view.
Thalias?
Ciri asked, her voice uncertain.
That doesn't look like a transport to me.
If by transport you mean something to get you from here to there, of course it's a transport,
Kilori said.
If you mean civilian transport, though, I'm afraid that's not what we're doing today.
He pointed out the viewport.
That, my noble Chiss hostages, is the Deathless, a battle dreadnought and the flagship of General Yiv the Benevolent of the Nicardoon Destiny.
Thalias looked at him, mentally measuring the distance between them. They were both strapped in. But if she got free quickly enough...
Please don't,
Kilori said.
The Benevolent would very much like you to be in undamaged condition when he hands you over to Thrawn.
He's going to give us back to Thrawn?
Ciri asked hopefully.
Of course,
Kilori said.
He'll message Thrawn, Thrawn will come, they'll meet right on the bridge of that warship, and Yiv will hand you over to him. And then, of course, Yiv will kill him.
Treason.
That was really the only word for it, Thurfian thought bitterly, as he hurried down the Convocate Hall for the Syndicure's emergency meeting. Treason. And after all the precautions he'd taken, the meetings and comparing of notes with Zistalmu, the careful reading of every scrap of data from every one of Thrawn's missions and activities. After all that, he'd still been taken completely by surprise. He'd often watched as the arrogant warrior skated up to the line and occasionally stepped over it. But nothing had prepared him to watch Thrawn take a flying leap over that line. They had him. This time, by every evil of the chaos, they had him. But at what cost? What terrible, terrible cost? The Convocate Hall was packed when Thurfian arrived. And as he headed toward the myth section, he did a quick head count. The speakers of all 9 families were present. as were most of the upper-level syndics. A dozen other lesser families were represented, mostly those with close ties to one of the Nine, or aspirations to someday join them in Ascendancy rule. The room buzzed with quiet conversation, as those who'd only heard part of the situation were filled in by the others. Seated at the witness table, a pocket of silence amid the verbal storm, were Supreme General Bakif, Supreme Admiral Javosk, Admiral Aralani, and Thrawn. Thurfian had just taken his chair when Javosk rose to his feet. Instantly, the rumble vanished.
"Speakers and syndics of the Ascendancy," Javosk said, throwing a quick, appraising look around the chamber. "I've received a transmission from General Yiv of the Nicardoon Destiny."
He lifted his questus.
"Quote, I have in my possession the two family hostages of Senior Captain Thrawn, whom he sent to Primea with an offer to the Vac Combine of union and treachery against the peaceful peoples of the Nicardoon Destiny. If he wishes the females to be released unharmed, he will travel alone to the attached coordinates in an unarmed freighter with the equivalent of 200,000 univers.
Javosk lowered the questus.
The coordinates given indicate a high orbit over Primea.
The usual protocol was for one of the speakers to offer the first response or ask the first question. But Thurfian wasn't much interested in protocol at the moment. More than that, he needed to make sure the entire chamber had the full horrifying situation.
"Leaving aside for the moment the question of why Yiv thinks the Chiss have such a thing as family hostages,"
he said, rising to his feet,
"I'd like to know who these two women are."
He raised his eyebrows.
"Or are they both women? Or is one a young girl?" "One of them is a woman,"
Javosk said, his voice under careful control.
"Her name is Mytheli Astov. The other is indeed a girl. Chiri."
A muscle in his cheek twitched.
"One of our Skywalkers."
A ripple of disbelief and outrage ran through the assembled aristocracy. Apparently, most of them hadn't heard the whole story.
"I assume Yiv is unaware of her status?"
Thurfian asked.
"We believe so,"
Javosk said.
"There's certainly no indication that he even knows about the Skywalker program, let alone has any details."
"I assume there's also no indication that he doesn't,"
the Plick speaker put in harshly.
"I would like to know exactly how Senior Captain Thrawn made such a blunder as to put one of our Skywalkers in enemy hands."
"The Nicardoon aren't our enemies,"
Javosk reminded her.
"As to Captain Thrawn's reasoning in this matter..."
He looked down at Thrawn.
"I certainly never intended either of them to be put at risk," Thrawn said. "Their mission was to return the Vac fighter I had borrowed, and to bring a warning to the Primea leadership of Yiv's activities, among other species in the region. Thales was supposed to deliver the message, then take a passenger transport to Navigator Concourse 447, where they would be brought back to the Ascendancy."
"And why was a Skywalker even aboard?"
"Chiri could pilot the fighter. Thales could not."
Thurfian felt his lip twist. Liar. Thrawn clearly knew, or at least suspected, what Yiv would do if Thales and Chiri came within reach. This whole thing smacked of a backdoor approach to getting the Syndicure to order a retaliatory strike. And if the mood in the chamber was any indication, he was going to get it. If there was one resource the Ascendancy guarded with insane jealousy, it was their Skywalkers.
"This conversation is not over,"
the Arisi speaker warned.
We'll want the details of the situation, all the details, at some point in the future. If blunders or outright deception are found, the Sindicure will mete out the appropriate consequences.
Understood,
Jafask said.
For now, though, speed is of the essence. We must use whatever means necessary to retrieve the two women.
I assume, Sistalmu spoke up harshly, that means a military strike?
Against those who, as Supreme Admiral Jafask has already admitted, aren't our enemies,
Thurfian added.
They've taken a Skywalker, Thrawn said. I believe that act in and of itself constitutes an attack on the Ascendancy.
Even when they're unaware of their crime?
They've taken a Skywalker,
Thrawn repeated. Thurfian caught Sistalmu's eye across the chamber, saw his same cynicism reflected in the Arisi's expression. Yes, this had been prearranged, all right. Jafask and Bakif might not have known the whole plan going in, but Thrawn and Ar'alani most certainly had. There would be a reckoning for this down the line, Thurfian promised himself. But for now, that would have to wait. Yiv had a Skywalker, and it was abundantly clear that the Aristocra would turn the chaos upside down if necessary to get her back. Still, if they were lucky, if they were very lucky, Thrawn might finally have outsmarted himself. In which case, Thurfian would happily, and with full sincerity, join into the Myth family's eulogy for its fallen hero.
I think the thing I'll miss most about Thrawn,
Yiv commented casually from his bridge command chair,
is the way he always seemed able to read his opponent and plan accordingly. It forced one to keep alert and to learn to anticipate in turn.
Thalias kept silent, focusing instead on the task of not scratching her arms despite the itchy feel of the shapeless robes the Nicardoon had given her and Ciri to wear. She suspected they were prisoner suits and that they were deliberately designed to be uncomfortable, but she would be damned if she would give Yiv the satisfaction.
This canister, for instance,
Yiv continued, pulling out the small, flat canister that had been concealed inside Thalias's belt buckle.
Hard to tell without opening it, but deep spectral analysis suggests it's some kind of soporific. Possibly a lethal one.
It's not lethal, Thalias said. It's a sleepwalking drug called Tava. It's the drug my master used on the crew of the Vak fighter when he commandeered it.
And you just happen to have another batch with you?
He likes to have backup plans, she said. I think he put the canister in my belt so he would have extra if he needed it.
You didn't know it was there?
Thalias hunched her shoulders.
No. But would it have mattered if I did? As long as we remain family hostages, our master owns us. Heart, soul, and life. He can do what he wishes with all three.
I would call that barbarous,
Yiv said, the strange tendrils on his shoulders waving a little harder than usual.
If that wasn't basically the same arrangement I demand of my own conquered peoples. Perhaps he and I are even more alike than I thought. Did he tell you what the message was that he had you deliver?
Thalias shook her head.
No.
It was quite interesting,
Yiv said, setting the Tava canister on the arm of his chair and pulling out the envelope Thalias had given the Vak soldier at the landing platform.
He's offering an alliance with the Chiss Ascendancy. return for permission to come to Brymia and challenge me.
He gave a snort and set the envelope beside the canister.
Also excruciatingly naive. Does he really think the Vax could make a decision like that without studying every aspect and every nuance?
My master is very good at reading cultures,
Thalias said.
Really?
Yiv said.
When you return to Chila, you must look up the story of his dealings with the Garwians and Leo Aoi. The real story, not the version available to the public.
Why?
Thalias asked.
What's different about it?
Oh, far be it from me to ruin the surprise.
Yiv said cheerfully.
But I've had the full truth from the Leo Aoi. Let's just say that your master isn't nearly as good as he thinks.
He considered.
Not that it matters in this case, because no one in the Combine will ever read his offer. The letter the Vax actually received was merely an apology and an earnest hope that this won't sour the Combine's view of the cheese. Content that, I dare say, they won't need to endlessly debate.
Thalias looked at Ciri. The girl was trying to keep up a good front, but Thalias could see that Yiv's 1-2 punch with the Tava canister and his substitute note had left her shaken. Yiv had spotted it too.
I seem to have upset your fellow hostage,
he said with feigned concern.
Or perhaps she's simply not as good at hiding her feelings as you are.
We're hostages, Thalias said. Our feelings also lie at the mercy of our master and his family.
No doubt she would learn with age and practice,
Yiv said.
Well, perhaps your next master will continue her training. Would you care to retire to a resting area for a bit? I'll want you here with me when Thrawn arrives. I'm sure he'll want to see you, but that will be several more hours.
Or several more days,
Thalias said.
Prymia is a long way from the Ascendancy via jump-by-jump travel.
Not a problem,
Yiv said with another broad smile.
He'll certainly wish to hire a navigator for such an important meeting. And that navigator, my navigator, is likely even now coming aboard his freighter. A few hours, maybe less, and it will all be over.
I'm glad you were available for this journey, Thrawn said, handing Kilori a steaming mug.
As am I,
Kilori said, sniffing approvingly. Galara tea leaf, his favorite drink.
I just returned to the concourse and was looking over the list of possible jobs when your message came through.
I'm glad you were willing to wait for my arrival.
I was happy to do so,
Kilori said.
For one thing, voyages with you are never boring. For another...
He hefted his mug.
The tea leaf.
Yes,
Kilori said.
Very few Pathfinder employers remember the navigator's preferences. A large number don't even bother to learn our names.
It seemed appropriate, Thrawn said, since this will likely be our last voyage together.
Really?
Kilori asked, frowning at the chiss over the edge of the mug.
How so?
I'm going to Prymia to ransom my two hostages from General Yiv, Thrawn said. I don't expect the exchange to end well.
Oh,
Kilori said, trying for the right mix of surprise and concern.
Surely you're not expecting treachery.
If the Benevolent has always struck me as upright and honorable in his dealings with others, at least when the other party has also been honorable, you aren't planning any tricks, are you?
He wanted me to come alone, in an unarmed freighter.
Thrawn waved a hand around them. Do you see anyone else? Or any weapons?
Well, certainly not from here,
Kilori said with a shrug. Though, considering that he'd given the freighter's hull a thorough visual inspection before coming aboard, and had spent his last rest period surreptitiously checking for weapons controls, he was considerably more certain than his offhanded comment made it look. Still, there was something odd about the freighter's shape. Something that had caught his attention as he'd spiraled around it earlier. It was nothing hugely out of the ordinary for this class of ship, and he couldn't even codify what it was that was different. Yet hours later, it was still nagging at him.
You can therefore affirm that I followed his instructions, Thrawn said.
In which case, you should have nothing to fear,
Kilori said.
Perhaps, Thrawn said. Are you ready for the final segment?
I am,
Kilori said, taking one last sip of his tea leaf and setting the mug aside. Thrawn was right. It would be their last voyage together. Kilori would have to thank the Benevolent later for letting him be present to watch the arrogant Pathfinder-murdering Chiss die.
Another half hour, and we'll be there.
Good, Thrawn said, settling himself in his chair. Let's make an end of it, Kilori of Yuan Dualan. One way or another.
Chapter 21 Insight. In the end, Arulani mused, that was what it came down to. Analysis followed, then extrapolation and countermove. Those were what made a successful military campaign. But it all started with insight. And if the insight was an error, the rest collapsed like an ice bridge over a bonfire. Thrawn claimed to understand Yiv. He claimed to understand the Vax. But he'd also thought he understood the Leo Aoi and the Garweans. His failure there had stirred up old animosities and political conflicts, had gotten a bunch of aliens killed, and had put the Ascendancy in the middle with dirt on its hands. If he was wrong this time, there would be more deaths. Only this time, many of the dead would be Chiss. There was a movement to her left, and she looked up to see Wootro come to a stop beside the command chair.
Break out in 5 minutes,
the Vigilance First Officer reported.
All systems and stations report ready.
Thank you, Senior Captain, Arulani said. Anything else?
Wootro pursed her lips.
I trust you realize, Admiral, that we're walking on splintered eggs here. We only have Senior Captain Thrawn's assumption that the Vax haven't completely gone over to the Nikar Dune side. If they have, we're going to end up fighting both of them. And unless the Vax attack us directly, we have no authorization whatsoever to fire on them.
It gets worse,
Arulani warned, thinking back to the Leo Aoi fighters she and Thrawn had seen at the Leo Aoan Heartworld.
If the Vax have joined Yiv, there may already be Nikar Dune crews aboard Vax warships. We won't know for sure who's who until they open fire.
And until then, they can maneuver all they want, play blocker for Nikar Dune ships, or even range their weapons against us,
Wootro said darkly.
Until they actually fire, we can't legally do anything.
Well, maybe we'll get lucky, and the Vax will declare war as soon as they see us coming for them,
Arulani said.
That would make things easier.
Yes, ma'am.
Wootro hesitated.
This Republic energy shield Thrawn brought back from the edge of the chaos, how good is it really?
I don't know, Arulani admitted. I was there for some of the tests when they were figuring out how to wire it to the Chiss power systems, and it looked pretty impressive. But how strong it is, and how long it'll last under sustained fire... She shook her head. No idea.
I suppose we'll find out. I suppose we will.
Utra-O huffed out a breath.
With your permission, Admiral, I think I'll run the weapons crews through one final system check. I assume you've made arrangements to get Skywalker Abeg off the bridge as soon as we arrive at Primea.
I've assigned 2 warriors to take her back to the suites, Arulani said. They'll stay there with her and her caregiver until the battle's over.
Good idea,
Utra-O said.
Thrawn losing his Skywalker was bad enough. If we got boarded and lost ours, too, we'd never hear the end of it.
Arulani had to smile.
And if that's the only thing you have to worry about today, Senior Captain, your life must be going remarkably well.
Thank you, Admiral,
Utra-O said innocently.
I do my best. With your permission, I'll get started on that weapons check.
With a final urging from the Great Presence and a final twitch of Kilori's fingers, they arrived.
Well,
Thrawn commented as Kilori pulled off his sensory deprivation headset. I see General Yiv has one final surprise for us. Kilori blinked moisture back into his eyes. Standing 30 kilometers off the freighter's bow was a formation of 4 massive battle dreadnoughts.
Why, did he say he was going to come unarmed too?
He asked, trying to keep the sudden nervousness out of his voice. That was a lot of military hardware out there. A good half of the force the Nicardoon had in this region. He'd assumed Yiv would be content to just bring the Deathless to the rendezvous. Apparently, the Benevolent had decided to err on the side of caution.
No, of course I assumed you would bring extra ships, Thrawn said. I was referring to the fact that these aren't the coordinates he sent in his message.
They're not?
Kilori asked, feigning surprise. These were the coordinates Yiv had given to him, but of course Thrawn wasn't supposed to know that.
I don't understand. These are the ones you downloaded into the ship's computer before we left the concourse.
Then someone switched them after I handed them to the dispatcher.
Thrawn pointed to the left, where the planet Primea was a small dot in the distance.
We were supposed to come out in a high planetary orbit. Apparently the general wanted to carry out our transaction in a less conspicuous part of the system.
He reached to the control board and keyed the comm.
General Yiv, this is Senior Captain Thrawn. I trust my companions are undamaged.
The comm display lit up. Yiv was seated in his command chair, his shoulder symbionts waving their usual unnerving rhythm. Kneeling on the deck in front of him were his 2 prisoners. One of them was the female whom Kilori had seen at the Primea diplomatic reception where Thrawn and Yiv had first met. The female he'd heard Thrawn refer to as a family hostage. The other was much younger, possibly not even in her teens, both of them wearing the same grotesque makeup. Whatever this hostage thing was the Chiss were running, it apparently started very young.
See for yourself the shape of your hostages, Captain,
Yiv said, leaning on the word as he waved a casual hand over them.
You have the ransom?
I do, Thrawn said. The money is in an equipment pod, ready to send to your ship whenever my companions are in a shuttle. The 2 craft will cross the void together, of course.
I'm afraid you misunderstand, Captain,
Yiv said.
and Kilori shivered at the smug malice in his tone.
The money isn't the ransom. You are the ransom.
I see,
Thrawn said calmly. If he was surprised by the sudden treachery, it didn't show in his face or voice.
Do you plan to shoot me down from there?
You stole one of my ships and killed one of my crews,
Yiv said, the smugness gone.
For that, you've automatically earned death at my hand. I prefer to bring you aboard the Deathless so I can watch you die. But if you insist, I can certainly do it from here.
I do not so insist, Thrawn assured him. I merely wish to ascertain the parameters of our altered agreement. Do I assume that since the location of our meeting has changed, all the rest of the original provisions are no longer in force?
Probably,
Yiv said, the smugness back. With the death sentence now pronounced with the proper harshness, the Benevolent was settling back to enjoy watching his enemy squirm.
Are there any provisions in particular you'd like to revisit?
Let me first commend you for your insight in moving the meeting to this spot, Thrawn said. I presume you felt Primea Orbit would be too public a venue. Especially since you don't want the Vax to see how much military force you have in this area.
That would hardly be a surprise,
Yiv assured him.
They've seen these ships and more. It's amazing how the presence of battle dreadnoughts can smooth out a round of negotiations.
Perhaps in general, Thrawn said. Perhaps not with a people like the Vax.
You were also wise enough to stay within the Primea system instead of moving us elsewhere.
This way you can calculate and execute a jump journey over to the planet within a relatively few minutes.
I don't anticipate any reason to hurry over there,
Yiv said. A hint of caution had crept into his voice, Kilori noted, with some trepidation of his own. If there was anyone who should be worried about this situation, it was Thrawn. Why was he instead making casual conversation on irrelevant subjects?
Are you expecting the Combine leadership to suddenly need a conversation with me?
Not necessarily, Thrawn said. You asked which part of our agreement I wanted to revisit.
And?
Just one provision, Thrawn said. The part about me coming to Primea alone.
The hyperspace swirl became star flares, then stars, and the Springhawk had arrived.
Delvu, sensor scan, Simakro ordered, doing a quick visual check of his own. There was a lot of traffic out there.
Ships of all sizes and styles moving in or out, or just orbiting Primea while they awaited their turn. Not surprising for a center of commerce and diplomatic contact, but it was going to make drawing out the enemy that much harder. Or perhaps even impossible if Thrawn's analysis of Nicardune's ship parameters proved inadequate to the job. If the task force couldn't pick Yiv's ships out of the swarm, the mission would be over before it even started, leaving Thrawn to face Yiv alone.
Vigilant has arrived, Mid-Captain, Dalvu announced.
Acknowledged, Simakro said, peering out at the Night Dragon that had just appeared in the distance in front of the Springhawk. As he watched, the rest of Arulani's force popped in from hyperspace. The cruisers, destroyers, and missile boats moving quickly into screening formation around her as they arrived.
Carol, do we have her signal yet?
Coming online now, sir, Carol confirmed. Open communication to Primea and all the rest of the force.
There was a double click.
Primea Central Command, this is Admiral Arulani of the Chiss Expansionary Defense Fleet.
Aralani identified herself. May I assume you received the message from my colleague, Senior Captain Thrawn?
This is command.
An official-sounding voice came back promptly.
We did.
And have you considered it?
We have,
the Vax said.
We wait upon your confirmation of the identities and locations of Nicardoon vessels.
Acknowledged, Aralani said. Our officers are gathering that data now.
Delvu?
Simacro prompted.
Seconds count.
But so does neatness, Carol added.
Agreed,
Simacro said, fighting back his impatience. The orbiting Nicardoon ships were undoubtedly even now reporting to Yiv that a Chiss fleet had arrived and were requesting orders. The longer the sensor analysis took, the more likely Yiv would order an attack and the Nicardoon would get in the first shot. Normally, that would be a good thing. The excuse the Chiss needed to shoot back. In this case, though, that kind of political spit-splitting would be less than useless. But they had to be careful. Letting a Nicardoon slip unidentified beneath their sensor threshold would be bad enough. Inadvertently targeting an innocent ship would be worse. The seconds ticked by.
Got them, sir,
Dalvu said with clear satisfaction.
I make it 32 ships, ranging in size from destroyers to missile boats.
Got the vigilance list, the comm officer put in. Also Gray Shrikes and Whisper Birds analyses.
All four match, Dalvu announced. Repeat, full confirmation ID on 32 enemy ships. Deployment pattern... Well, well.
She touched a key, and the tagged Nicardoon ships came up on the tactical.
Would you look at that? Carol said with feigned surprise.
I'd say that's a blockade formation.
So it is,
Simacro agreed. Deployed that way, probably in order to keep anyone from wandering out of the regular traffic flow and accidentally blundering into Yiv's confrontation with Thrawn. Wherever it was, Yiv had moved it. But of course, the Vax wouldn't know that was the reason.
Vigilance sending the profile to Primea Command,
Carol reported.
Good, Simacro said. Let's see if they come to the correct conclusion.
We'd better hurry,
Carol warned.
Yiv can't possibly be hoping to bully a system like this without a lot more firepower close at hand. I'd prefer we have the chance to take out his bumpers before his bruisers get here.
Admiral Aralani, this is command.
The Vac voice came back.
Do I assume from the pattern that we are the object of a Nicardoon blockade?
I would say so, Command. Yes, Aralani confirmed. Will you hold your defense ships back while we clear it out?
That question was also asked by Captain Thrawn,
Command said.
The answer is now decided. We will hold back.
Thank you, Aralani said. Task Force, you have your targets. Engage at will.
You heard the Admiral,
Simacro ordered, tapping ID locks onto the two closest Nicardoon ships.
We'll start with these two. Asmordi, get us moving. Flank speed.
No,
Yiv said, his eyes focused slightly off to the side. The smugness had vanished completely from his voice, replaced by utter disbelief and a growing anger. His symbiont's tendrils waving restlessly.
It's not possible! You're simply not important enough for the Chiss to send a war fleet to rescue you!
You assume this display of Chiss power is because of me,
Thrawn said.
It's far more likely the Vac Combine itself called for Ascendancy aid.
Absurdity begets absurdity! The fools would never make a decision like that. They aren't even close to having all the thought lines they need, let alone to having considered all of them.
You misunderstand them, General, Thrawn said. That will prove your undoing. Would you like to know what was in the message I sent them?
I know what was in the message,
Yiv retorted.
I took it from your hostage.
And substituted something far more innocuous, Thrawn said. Of course you did. What you failed to realize was that I left another message in the fighter's computer. Would you like to hear what it said?
Yiv's attention jerked back to the comm from whatever he was looking at. A terrible fire.